Hi everyone, my name is Megan Bushy and I'm a fourth year education student and I would love to talk to you about my opinions on educational issues surrounding constructivism. So welcome to my podcast. It's entitled The Constructivist Approach, a 21st Century Model for Education. The Constitutional Act was created in 1867, education policy became provincially regulated. In the 150 years that have since passed, much has changed about our society. Slavery was abolished, women have equal rights, technologies have flourished, and the world has become a much more interconnected and fast-paced place. Times have changed, but sadly, education hasn't. The school board systems have been in place for longer than the Constitutional Act. And all that have changed within them was the shift from religion-based and church-controlled to secularized language-based systems. I want to draw your attention to the similarities between the implementation of standardized curriculum for schools and the Industrial Revolution's push for societal and economic progress. Manufacturing factories and the military were the job force options available to people at the time. The people needed to learn how to listen to authority, follow rules and routines, sit in rows, stand in lines, punch in their presence, and produce quality goods. Sound familiar? Naturally, the education system reflected societal demands. Society has changed, but education has remained much the same. Education claims to teach students for the future, but our current practices are rooted in the past. Education needs to catch up. We no longer need factory workers, we need citizens that are capable of critical thinking, self-regulation, creativity, and ingenuity. Progress in a globalized world means collaboration and not competition. These are skills that students should learn in schools, and we need an approach that will foster them. I found that it encapsulated my own teaching and learning style, and I soon realized that the only way that I could retain information was to engage with material, think about it, and construct my understanding of it through community-based discussions, which often took place online in forums. Constructivism favors student-directed learning, individual potential, and social cooperation in authentic learning environments. I was not the first person to realize the value of this model of learning. There is a need to improve teacher education methods to reflect the new societal demands and a change in instruction to better meet our students' educational needs. It begins with educating teachers in what Mira Barak calls 21st century competency. Moving from acquisition of content knowledge to mastery of practical skills, in her study, she suggests that in this digital age, a basic attribute for teaching and learning is letting go of control and encouraging exploration, collaboration, and communication in decentralized environments. Essentially saying that when we combine social constructivism with advanced technology, students and teachers learn how to teach in a 21st century context. In school, I was often told that calculations were done one way because that's the way we were taught, the facts were the facts because that's the way they were written in textbooks, and art was supposed to look exactly like the teacher's model because that was the instructions we were given. What skills are being taught when students are only learning how to copy and to follow? We need a generation of leaders, entrepreneurs, artists, engineers. So what's the purpose of school when students can't explore their interests, discover new possibilities, and engage in authentic, practical learning? The Gordon Commission uses a brilliant metaphor when discussing the challenge for 21st century teachers. Instead of filling buckets, we must light fires. The idea that we must get students excited about learning when our students are waiting for their teachers and curriculum to catch up to them. In 1992, Penny Oldfather wrote an article about the use of constructivism for the motivation in literacy learning. She entitled it, Sharing the Ownership of Our Knowing. In this article, she illuminates how students' motivation for learning is connected to their sense of empowerment. And there is no clearer way to empower students than to give them control over their education. Schooling is meant to educate students, and so one might ask, how can we be sure that switching to a constructivist method will change anything? As progressive as constructivism is, again I say it isn't new. There have been multiple studies and research done that have proven its effectiveness on academic outcomes. A study published in the Journal of Education and Practice of this year revealed that students taught in a constructivist class had deeper understanding of their learning processes than those in traditional ones. Most studies have found that students in constructivist classrooms have stronger comprehension of concepts and overall engagement in learning. We know that the constructivist method works, and we know that it improves students' motivation and achievement. But how do we implement a constructivist model when we have an imposed curriculum? Arthur Kostel and Bennett Kallick offer a solution in a chapter entitled, It Takes Some Getting Used To, Rethinking Curriculum for the 21st Century. In their work, they often discuss the importance of fostering the habits of mind. In this piece, they offer a framework for implementing a constructivist model that develops the metacognition required for effective self-directed learning. To quote them, as our paradigm shifts, we will need to let go of our obsession with acquiring content knowledge as an end in itself and make room for viewing content as a vehicle for developing broader, more pervasive, and complex goals such as those incorporated in the habits of mind. We want to move away from a curriculum that serves only to create average students whose skills are limited to the subjects they are taught and whose identities are dependent on the comparative grade. We should not fear letting go of our control and embracing the uncertainty. It is only with disequilibrium that growth and change is formed. We often talk about validity in assessment, but what about authenticity, context, purpose? These are things that the constructivist approach takes into account. In higher education, we recognize students' autonomy and ask that they provide evidence of growth and development. The QEP also asks teachers to gather evidence of students' growth and development of competency. So why do we restrict our students to exams and tests, which takes learning out of its practical applications and asks students to apply isolated skills that are not transferable to any other area of the curriculum and then apply a quality stamp to it? Why ask students who are so different to compete for an average grade in a subject which has little meaning to them? Integrating technology into assessment and giving students autonomy over what they are assessed in emphasizes authenticity and purpose. Reeves and Oakey address the multitude of approaches that can be implemented for alternative assessment. The one that stands out is the portfolio. The portfolio is a culmination of students' work chosen by the student that shows evidence of their learning progress. In higher education, digital portfolios are often used as an easily adaptable and comprehensive tool for assessment. We need to address students' autonomy when assessing their development in order to encourage future growth. Shelley Moore came to speak to our class about a topic of inclusion. She recognized that schools, the way we educate, and what we value as education needs to change. She says that the goal of education has typically been to create homogeneity within society. She says that schools want everyone to be the same color, green, the norm. We adapt our curriculum for those who don't fit the norm. We try to mold them into green people. Shelley says that instead of asking how we can change who you are, change your color, ask what is your color and how can we make it brighter. Inclusion education doesn't ask students to change who they are. It accepts everyone and acknowledges their contributions. Constructivist schooling enables students to develop their interests, foster their skills and attributes, and doesn't force them into a mold of normality. Inclusion means that there is no other. Constructivism empowers difference. Let's change our focus. Let's become a society of individual experts with a variety of skills. We don't need everyone to be average at everything. We need people who are really good at something. Let's reconstruct our understanding of learning. What are we valuing as a society? Rote memorization of fact or practical skills that can be applied to a multitude of areas. Let's begin teaching to a rainbow of possibility instead of molding everyone into green carbon copies. We have robots. We need ingenuity and variety.